Proverbs 29, let's look at verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to help us now as we get into the Proverbs. We pray that you'd just open up our eyes, God. Give us wisdom. That's what we need. Understanding. I pray, God, that you would help these scriptures to come out clear, come out plain, help them to make sense. Lord, may your people not just hear what I'm saying, but may they be equipped to study their Bibles and to figure things out and to see what it is God's doing and what it is God's saying to them. Strengthen your church and bless us tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Good verse. I believe the reason is obvious. When a righteous man's ruling, why is that making the people happy? Because when a righteous man rules, he will do what's best for others. Where does that come from? I'll show you. Go to John 21. John chapter 21. This is gonna apply in a lot of ways. John 21, look at verse 15. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep, my lambs. Verse 16. He saith him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. What's your point, preacher? Here's my point. When a man truly loves Jesus Christ, he will feed the sheep. If you truly love Jesus Christ, it will show in the way you treat other people. You cannot tell me you love Jesus Christ and hate your brother. Does that ring a bell to anybody, or am I just making that up? If you love Jesus Christ, you will do right to other people. A true, born-again, Bible-believing Christian who's living right and loves the Lord will not hurt you in a way that's going to harm you. Might give you a little truth here and there that'll offend you, but he's not going to hurt you in a way that's going to harm you. Now, see, that makes a lot of sense to me back in Proverbs 29. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why? Because that man that's in authority is going to help you out. He's going to look out for you. He's going to take care of you. But look at the contrast. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Why? Well, he's wicked. So what's he love? What's he going to be after? What's a wicked man almost always going to be after? Money. Himself. So he's going to rule in a way that benefits himself, and what's that usually going to be? The love of money is the root of all evil. So when a wicked man rules, you know what happens to the people? They're miserable. I mean, you want to see wickedness in just an unleashed level. Go with us to Haiti. Go with us to Mexico, where they're afraid to pull over for the police. I mean, we're there, and the missionary called the police because somebody was out at the gate, beating on the gate and crying and carrying on and on. And, you know, he sounded drunk, and we were thinking, you know, it's a random drunk guy needing help. And he's like, no, it might be a setup. We're like, what do you mean a setup? He said, well, when you open the door, there may be a bunch of other guys waiting out there that come in here to rob you guys or kidnap you because, you know, they've been watching the Americans come and go all week. So he's like, we can't open the door. And he's yelling back and forth to the guy in Spanish, and the guy wouldn't leave our door, keeps beating on the gate, keeps crying. He's laying on the ground out there. He's sliding his phone underneath and, you know, talk to my whatever, go ahead, you know, trying to. It's just really a bizarre thing, man. We were kind of freaked out a little bit, to be honest with you. And it was, I think it was like the last night before we left or something. Anybody remember? I think it was real close to leaving, which is typical of how things go great and right till, you know, it's time to get home and then something bad happens, you know. And so he calls the police, the missionary does. Well, the police show up. And so he asks through the little hole there in the iron gate, he asks what the dispatch number is. And it didn't match the number that the dispatcher said was dispatched to the house. And so the police are saying, open the gate. And he's saying, no, I'm not opening. They're saying, open up. He's saying, I ain't opening. He refused to open to the police. We're like, what's going on, man? He said, the police might be in on it. It's the wrong dispatch number. Couldn't even trust the police. Because the police will come, and if the gangsters are paying the cops, or if one of the cops is in one of the gangs or whatever, the police will come, get you to open the door, and they'll take off, take their cash payout, and they'll take off and leave you to get... That's what happens when wicked men rule. And you know what it's all about? Money. The people are oppressed. Can I tell you what shows you, you know, the state of America is when you start voting wicked people into office. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lie. What do you expect a wicked person to do? I mean, people want to vote based on agendas, right? Based on whatever their particular agenda is and who's going to give them the most rights and who's going to give them free money. And you're voting wicked people into office and then you think they're actually going to take care of you? They will only vote your way as long as they're going to make money on it. And then when it turns on them, they're going to vote against you. They don't care about you. You know what we need? We need a righteous king. I mean, that would do us some good. And I'm telling you, folks, there's one coming. And when he's in authority, you know what you and I are going to do for a millennium? On this earth? What's it say right there? What's verse 2 say is going to happen to us when the righteous king is in authority? So you think heaven's going to be boring? Why do people have this concept that heaven is us like a bunch of goofballs floating around with little fluttering wings on our back and harps on a cloud bored out of our minds? Oh, hi, how you doing? Oh, God, I haven't seen you for a couple thousand years. Hey, what have you been just floating around? Like it's going to be some kind of a drag. Heaven's going to be wonderful, man. We're going to have a righteous king, and we are going to be a bunch of people that are so happy and so full of joy. At his right hand are what forevermore? You know the word? Anybody know the word? Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures. You know what your flesh gets you in trouble seeking? Pleasure. God knows how to give you pleasure that ain't going to cost you nothing, man. I mean, no regrets, no sin, no darkness, no that sorrow and that dirty feeling. I mean, it's going to be pleasure forevermore. That's a pretty good deal. That's something to look forward to. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but if it is, you know, 1 degree in heaven, it ain't going to feel like it. Verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Well, the father rejoices when his son loves wisdom. You know what a good dad will do his very best to do? He will do his very best to dispense wisdom to his son. A good dad will try to equip his kid for the future. You know what's a super huge blessing? Is to see somebody grasp what it is you're trying to give them and then grow based on what you gave them. I mean, for me, my entire life, I've always just gravitated towards older guys. I mean, I always thought this, even when I'm, you know, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I always figured if I can get in his head and learn what he's learned now, where could I be in 30 years? Hello. Question. How did Solomon do? Pretty good. Not too shabby, richest king in all the earth. What did his father do? His father laid up in store and prepared for Solomon. His father had a vision in his heart, something he wanted to do that God did not let him do. Quick sidestep here that's important for us parents and adults to get a hold of. Instead of getting envious toward his kid, instead of criticizing the younger generation, that man had a dream that God did not allow him to accomplish, so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll prepare for my son to be able to go do some things and to become something that I was never allowed to be, even though I had a great desire to be that. What a good dad. Not going to park it here, not preaching at you tonight, but man, I've seen parents, I've seen adults get real upset when somebody younger than them, a mentor of their, a mentee of theirs, begins to exceed them in life. You know, they had a marriage failure, but the kids are having a happy marriage. They had a financial failure, but the kids are doing quite well financially. They had children that didn't all turn out, but their kids' kids are all doing pretty good. And I've seen that older generation get jealous and envious toward that younger generation and begin hurting him and breaking him down. And the younger generation doesn't always understand what's happening. I don't know why she's so mean to me. I don't know why there's something there. Why is she digging at me all the time? Why is she taking shots at me all the time? Because she's wicked. It might not be you. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. Anyways, a wise and a godly parent lays up in store for their children and wants to see their son loving wisdom. God says, Solomon, blank check. Fill it out and give it back to me. Not exactly, that's the MRV version, but you've read the story, you get the point, right? That's the Mike Reagan version. It was a joke. I don't have my own version. You wouldn't buy it anyhow. You'd fire me, right? Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was a proper time to say amen. So here's the thing. Blank check, Solomon. Fill it out and give it back to me, right? You know what Solomon says? God, I need wisdom. This is a job that's above my pay grade. It's over my head. It's past my life experience. Give me wisdom to rule your people. You know what God said? You got it. And by the way, I know how you humans are. You like money and you like blessings and you like prosperity, so I'll give you that stuff too. Do right by me. The father rejoiceth when his son loves wisdom. If you could ask God for something, you know what you should ask him for? To give you wisdom. But look at verse 3. There's always a contrast. The Proverbs are so powerful because they do so much teaching if you'll slow down and look at them and watch them and think. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now, here's the interesting thing. This guy doesn't necessarily love money. But what does he do? He hooks up with people who do. Not everybody loves money. Do you understand that? I mean, there are some people that don't care. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. I mean, you heard my story. I turned around and told my wife, you know, 5:30 in the morning, I just got my biggest commission payout of my life. I said, I'm going out and get me another one. Honey, we got it. And she's like, good for you, man. I'm sleeping. That to me was like, what is wrong with her? Now that I got some money, I got to get her a psychologist because she needs help. Some people don't really care. They're not as materialistic as others, right? Hello? You know? But you know what happens? If you don't love God and you're foolish and you're not seeking wisdom, you will get taken by people who do love money. Because they will offer you whatever it is you want in order to get your money. That's the harlot. You think a harlot wants to do what she's doing? They are sad people. TV lies to you. I'll say that again. TV lies to you. It doesn't show you the lost teeth. It doesn't show you the 38-year-old that you would think you'd bet every dollar you got is in their 50s. It doesn't show you the death and the disease that goes with that lifestyle. It does not show you the chronic depression, the addiction to drugs to psychologically survive the abuse she's put herself through. Now, what's getting her to do that? The love of money. What drives a man to sell you drugs knowing you got a wife and kids at home and that they might go without food? Knowing that there's a risk of maybe getting caught or arrested, winding up in jail, but will keep doing it. Knowing they're destroying other people's lives. Breaking mom and dad's hearts. Knowing that they might sell this drugs to this individual who might go drive under the influence of that and kill somebody's kid. What drives a man to keep selling something like that and not get right with God and knock his foolishness off? And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you're wise, you're going to not be going after the pleasures that cause you to waste your substance on riotous living. He that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. You know what's a sad, sad, sad thing? It is a heartbreaking thing to watch people with potential throw their potential away. It's horrible to see. It's like, it's one of those Ecclesiastes moments where you just sit back and you go, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. This doesn't make any sense and this world is so messed up, forget it. I mean, there are times when literally you just feel like throwing your hands up in despair and just going home and just, you know, vegging out and forgetting about it, you know? Like, whatever. Because it doesn't make any sense. Here's a guy over here with zero talent. I'm not pointing at you, Jordan. I'm just randomly pointing at some individual in the pew. And I looked up and you're right there in the line of fire. Sorry, that's what you get for sitting up close. Here's a guy right here, imaginary guy, who's got zero talent. Zero gifts, didn't have a good upbringing, doesn't have a bunch of money, and he's trying. He's doing the best he can, and he's always going to live paycheck to paycheck. He's always going to get through. Or he had tons of gifts, but really unfortunate circumstances in life. You know, some people get put far behind because of their parents, because of their circumstances. And you watch him struggle, and then you watch a guy over here who's out blowing his inheritance on something as stupid as harlots. Something as stupid as drugs. Something as stupid as a liquid beverage that's going to make you feel real good for a little while and real bad for a long time and always make you come back for more. Hello. How heartbreaking is it to watch potential get thrown away? Now, let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Okay, most people in here are. Praise the Lord. You know what you got with Christ? You got a King James Bible in your lap? Do you know what you got? Folks, do you realize what you have? Wow. You have a church. I mean, we ain't the greatest in the world, but got a church that believes the book? Do we realize what we've got? You got so much. You know what most of the Christians are doing nowadays? Wasting their potential on foolishness. I'm not saying, you know, don't ever relax and watch a movie and don't ever play a video game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you haven't had time to get in the book and seek God's face today, you got no business being on Facebook or watching a movie or anything else. You haven't given God his right in your life. You're wasting your substance and your potential. And I realize we live in a very busy society and people are genuinely busy. That's part of the devil's plan as we get closer to the end times. I get it. But you do have time to read your Bible. Guaranteed. And if you don't, you're wasting your substance. Verse 4. The king by judgment. Man, we have already covered two whole verses. We are screaming tonight. The king by judgment establisheth the land. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. The king, how does a king build a strong country, establisheth the land? It's right there. It's not a trick question. How does he do it? By judgment. By hard, cold facts. By literally right and wrong. Proper judgment. When a king will do what's right, it will establish and build a nation. When the head of the home will do what's right, it will establish and build a home. When a pastor will do what's right, it will establish and build a church. Look at the contrast in the same verse. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. So again, you got the love of what? Money. He that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. If a man can be bought off, he is not a man of character. I saw this when I was a kid. I'll never forget it. I was, 30 years ago now, not quite. And I'll never forget a guy bought the church a real fancy mower. And the church was poor, and it was smaller than this church. It was poor. It weren't real rich church. Pastor wasn't full time. My dad wasn't full time. He was working a full time job and pastoring. And the guy bought a nice mower. And then wanted to control how all the groundwork went because he bought the mower. And I remember my dad saying, he thinks he's going to run everything now because he bought the mower. You got the wrong guy, man. If you try to do that with my dad, you got the wrong guy. He said, well, thanks for the mower. You said that God laid it on your heart to buy the church a mower. Yeah, he did. Okay, so was it God laying it on your heart? If God laid it on your heart, you bought it for the church. There's no contract between us. And if God didn't lay it on your heart, come get your mower. Will you find a man that'll judge based on principle, based on morality, based on spirituality, based on right and wrong, you have something that's solid. When you got somebody that can be bought off, that is a very fragile, very unstable nation. We were in Haiti this last year while the riots were going on. They raised taxes. You know what's going on behind the scenes? People are getting bought off and bribed, and there's all kinds of government contracts going on and deals going on with the U.S. The U.S. just ships them so much money, it's not even funny, because China was talking to them. And the U.S. doesn't want China in our backyard. So the U.S. is over there buying them off and paying them people and giving them money, and the money's supposed to be going to help the people and pave roads and infrastructure and all this other stuff, and the people aren't seeing any of the money at all. The people are getting their taxes raised. So the people are furious against their own government. They're furious against the U.S. because the U.S. is enabling their government. And the problem is you don't got anybody over there doing anything based on right and wrong, based on righteousness. You got people over there doing things based on money. My preacher used to say this repeatedly. Brother Lentz used to say this a lot. He'd say, Mike, don't ever forget, blood's thicker than the Bible. I did the same thing some of you are doing. And it just took a little bit of time and a little bit of dealing with people to figure out what he meant. Most people will not pass judgment based on truth. It's always, preacher, something needs to be done about this, and you need to handle that, and you need to take care of them, until it applies to their blood, their family. Then all of a sudden, we found your price. What's your price? Well, I'm good with it. I'm good with proper judgment. But if you start messing with my mother, if you start messing with my kid, hey, your rebellious punk kids out here, smoking on the church property, or, like examples I've given you, teenagers out necking in the car, and the preacher goes out there and beats on the window and says, get off the church property. What do you think you're doing here? Oh, now the deacon's mad. Well, what happened to truth and righteousness? Oh, truth and righteousness only applies when we're dealing with somebody else's family. But when we deal with your family, all of a sudden truth and righteousness is out the door. I found your price. Ouch. Yeah, whatever that. That was a good answer. First time a phone's ever been inspired. Or God saying, you're crazy. Thanks for that. We needed the comic relief because it was getting real tense in here. But when somebody can be bought off, it's because they're not making their judgments based on truth. And that creates instability. Let's keep our momentum. Verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Now, we've already dealt with this quite a bit, so we'll just touch on it and we'll go. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Ask yourself a question when somebody starts coming to you and buttering you up. Why? Now, again, I want to be clear about this because people have misunderstood me quite a bit. And it's my fault. I'm not clear enough about this. Flattery is entirely different than when you're genuinely giving somebody a compliment. And there's nothing wrong with you genuinely. It's called edification. And I'm so tired of the pharisaical false humility.
Brother, I'm nothing. And, you know, well.
Stop. Your pride is showing. And that might not make sense to you. Maybe someday it will. But a lot of times, that's just pride.
Pretending to be humble.
So there's nothing wrong with me saying, Brian, you got a huge gift on the piano. He does. Have you ever seen him, heard him sit down and just go at that classical stuff? Blow your mind. That's a compliment. I'm not flattering him. Watch. Oh, Brian, your piano playing is just so amazing. I just want you to know what a gift you have, brother. That's from God. You give God the glory. Don't you be proud, Brian. But not trying to, you know, give you the big head. But, Brian, really, it's amazing. And can you give me a ride home? And I forgot my credit card, and I need to get something to eat because I'm famished. That's flattery. Because flattery is overdoing the compliments to set you up. In the 90s, we called them gold diggers. And they never did it to me because I always drove beaters. But the cool kids, you know, they pull in a nice car and all of a sudden the girls will start flattering you. What are they doing? Setting you up, Joker. She said that to 50 other guys. Don't take it personal. She'll straight up lie if her motive is money. So watch out when somebody starts doing that to you. There's something you got in you that God gave you. It's called your spirit. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And every once in a while, there will be that feeling. And I don't preach feelings, and I'm not charismatic, so don't go out of here saying I am. But not every single thing in the Bible is, thou shalt not respond to that guy right now because he is flattering you. Oh, thank God. Bible saved my life. Not always, right? So every once in a while, you get a radar, a red flag, and you need to learn to listen to that. And you learn to make sure that that's a prayerful thing and it's not a judgmental thing. It's judgment. Different. Two very different things. I can have proper judgment without becoming a judgmental Christian. All right. Verse 6. I said we were going to touch it and go. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. So the actual sin that that man is committing has a hook to it. The bait is the sin. The hook is the snare. Are you following that? Pick your sin. Well, you know, how about a big thing nowadays is social drinking. And they try to catch you on, is it okay if you're not getting drunk? Let me ask you a question. If there's a chance of you getting drunk or becoming a drunkard? Well, you know, marijuana, it's actually better than alcohol and it's natural, man. And, you know, it's not really the gateway drug. Okay, but if there's a chance that's going to lead you down the wrong pathway. Now you're staring at me like, what? I'm just saying, there's a snare associated with the sin. People think they're going to commit the sin and sweep it under the rug and hide it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Here's how it works. You go dabble, and I'm just going to stop. I'm just this once, and I'm done. And then you walk away. And you know what your sin does? It follows you. How in the world does that work? What are you talking about, preacher? Folks, you realize that there is a devil out there and that there's principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places and what the Bible calls familiar spirits. You ever notice how certain sins become generational? Have you ever noticed that? Come on, man. You go, I'm never going to do that. My dad did that. And I've heard guys say that so many times. And they turn around and when you talk to them at 30 and at 40, you're like, hey, man, they go, yeah, I did become my dad. The devil knows you. He knows what you've messed with. He knows what your tendencies are. Some of you are going to have more of a tendency towards drunkenness than others. Some of you would have more of a tendency towards drugs than others. You know, some of our kids, I don't know for sure, but I mean, I could think of one or two of my kids that just, I don't really think that's probably, I mean, could, God knows, and I'm not being arrogant about this, but man, it's like, can I take this vitamin? Yeah? But it's 1,000, is that too much? No. Are you sure? It's spelled, this spelling, is that the right one? No, just take it, you're going to die. That's what we say. Take it. We'll pump your stomach, hope you make it. Just take it, don't take it. We don't care. We're done answering questions. You're okay, all right? Other people, man, you got to be like, why were you drinking the Lysol? What in the world were you thinking, kid? The devil's had plenty of time to study human nature. He knows your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. He knows what does and doesn't run in your family. He knows when, where, how, what, and why to hit you. He knows what's in your past. You can't mess with sin. It will come back to haunt you. So you get saved and God changes your life and you get some victory and you start moving forward and you're happy and you say this, I'll never do that again. And I swallow hard. And I pray. When I hear that, I pray for the person that just said that. I said, God, they don't realize what they're doing. They don't mean that. Watch out for them because the devil hears that. And I've seen Christians go from one thing before Christ to Christ back. And you know what their state is after the fact? And it's in the Gospels. It's not the subject for tonight, but I'll show you one of these days. You know what their state is afterwards? 7 times worse than they were before. Be careful, folks. Be careful, be careful, be careful. The transgression is the snare. It will get you. Now, I'm not trying to depress you because guess what? God loves you. And no matter what you've done or where you've been or how bad you struggle, you can get right with God tonight. You can walk out of here with victory tonight. And as long as you're fighting and trying, God ain't going to give up on you, so don't give up on Him. He loves you, man, and that's a blessing, isn't it? And that's not meant for those who are dabbling in sin and enjoying it. You're getting the snare. But for those who are struggling, praise God, keep fighting. But the second half of that verse is real good. But the righteous doth what? Sing and rejoice. Man, serving God's good. I mean, it's good. You wake up in the morning and you got a song in your heart. And if you don't pray about that, say, Lord, I want to start waking up with a song. And you'll wake up. You will wake up. And the first thing before your feet hit the floor is one of the hymns from Sunday morning. And if that hasn't happened yet, I'm going to pray it happens to you. I mean, get them all, Lord. I pray it happens to you tomorrow morning. That's a great way to start the day, man. I've literally woke up You know that like that haze between the two? Like between like waking up, it's called like multiple alarms that keep going off. I set like 6 alarms and they all go off. And then my wife is the other alarm because by the second or third one, she's like, just get up already. You know, she sets one alarm and gets up. It's amazing. To me, I set multiple alarms just to make sure because I'm paranoid. And then I'm like, oh, I got 5 more. I can wait. You know? But there's that in-between zone, you know, where you're kind of getting close to waking up, but you're not yet. I have a new phenomenon where my back will start hurting about an hour before my alarm. And it's like, oh, am I going to get up or stay here, you know? And the song's rolling. And it doesn't even really hit all the way until you get out of bed. And you're like, you're walking into the family room and looking in a coffee pot and there's a song rolling in your heart and in your mind. And boy, man, that's so much better than, did we get fun last night, didn't we? I think we did. We're not in jail, are we? Oh, no, good. Okay, great. Worked out good then. Yeah, it was a great Friday, but I don't know what we're going to eat all week. Spend a substance with righteous living. It's just so much better, sir. It's just so much better serving the Lord. Everything's better. And I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm just saying everything's better, man. Praise the Lord. We got time for one more verse. Give me one more. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So I looked up these two words because I noticed one thing was considereth. Okay, so if you're looking at parallel, because this is compare and contrast, a lot of compare and contrast in the Proverbs. If you're looking at the parallels here, you've got the righteous that considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So what two words in there would you look at that are parallel to each other but on the opposite sides? The word, considereth is one, right? Regardeth is the other. So I looked them up. The word considereth means this, to fix the mind on with a view to a careful examination, to think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on. Now this is really significant. Because a righteous man considers the cause of the poor. Jesus Christ in the Gospel says, and almost seems flippant, the poor you have with you always. Right? Religion makes so much out of the poor. The poor, the poor. Right? Government makes so much out of the poor. But does a righteous man completely disregard the poor? Of course not. But a church doesn't exist to give everybody that's having trouble paying their bills a handout. And I could let you listen to my voicemails. They've actually slowed down lately because they don't get responded to. It's delete and busy, delete and busy. But it's like, and some of the folks, they get my cell phone number. Literally, like random people getting my cell phone number. And I'm on a circuit. I'm like every 3 to 6 months I hear the same voice again. They make money out of calling churches asking for money. This is how they live. They say, well, I'll bring you my electric bill. If you want to just pay it directly, I'll bring you my electric bill. I'm like, first you tried for cash, and when I wouldn't do that, now you're asking me to bring in me the so that you can use the cash that frees up for your drugs or your alcohol, or I mean, what's the deal, man? So a righteous man is not automatically obligated to pay for the poor. Robin Hood was a communist. I know that really rocked everybody's world, but that whole message that being sent, rob the rich to give to the poor, is not a proper message. You just, he did the whole mind blowing thing. No way! No, preacher, not that. Such deep theology. Stop. You're getting me going. Okay, so what does a righteous person do? A righteous person does consider the cause. He sits back and he looks at the situation. He evaluates, is this person hardworking? Is this person handicapped? Were they at one point able to work and they can't work anymore? Is this a person who's really doing their best, who's trying to serve God? Is this a person that really is somebody we should help? Do you see that? He doesn't say the righteous man gives handouts to the poor. People get this strange concept that if they find out you have money, if you have money, please don't tell anybody. Because when people find out you have money, they treat you different. And they start thinking you are obligated to give them money. You know, some people have money because they work real hard for a long time and they faithfully put $5 extra on their debts until one get paid off, and then they put added that 5 from the other debt to the next debt and made it 10 and paid that one off, and then added that 10 to the other debt plus the 5 that's 50 and paid it off, and they took a decade being faithful. They took 20 years being faithful to put money into their savings that they worked hard for, and then some snotty-nosed punk comes along who doesn't want to work, finds out they have money. Come sit at the restaurant. Can I come with you guys? Yeah, sure. Why aren't you ordering? I don't have any money. When a dude starts giving me puppy dog eyes, I'm like, something ain't right here, man. I'm out. See ya. Oh, I'll pay for you. Well, he didn't pay for me. He's so money hungry. He's so greedy. Look at them in there. Lexus in there. Oh, that's a Tesla. So money hungry. You're just jealous, man. You ain't right. You don't know the price they paid to get that. And what do you care anyways? You got a car? God getting you from point A to point B? You deserve more than that? Earn it. I don't see any problem with that. I'm sorry, but earn it. Hey, if you hand it to them, they're going to waste it. They earn it, they appreciate it. So the righteous does what? A righteous man doesn't just disregard the poor. We help people here. But we're picky about who we help. We sit back and we consider their cause. We consider the situation. We discuss it. So far, the deacons have never said, no, preacher, we don't think we should help them. Because I try to never come to them without first having fully considered it and having a good cause to give to. And if it's above my authority, I go to the guys. Hey, guys, here's what I'd like to do, and here's why. And I lay it out for them. I consider that cause. And this has been a learning process for me because, man, when God blesses you, you want to be right with God. You want to give. You want to make sure that God doesn't. You don't want your heart to get off track and you start getting stingy. My preacher said this, and this didn't make sense to me for a long time, and I think I get it now. In 5 more years, I'll talk about me back here and say I didn't get it, but I do none, whatever. Here's the deal. He said this, I don't allow my charities to pick me. I pick them. Does that make sense? I pick my charities. They don't pick me. That's righteousness. You don't just throw your money away. And you also don't get cheap and stingy when somebody's in need. You help them out. But look at the contrast. But the wicked regardeth not to know it. You know what the word regard means? To look towards. To point or be directed to observe. You know what a wicked man does? He doesn't even look their way. He doesn't even consider them. You mark it down. Government, family, Christians, it doesn't matter. When somebody's got a wicked heart, all they think about is their own self, their own finances, their own bank account, their own possessions. They don't even look at or consider if somebody else has a need and is in a position to be helped. And I know it seems awfully harsh, but frankly, I'm not a righteous man if I'm just throwing money at everybody. I personally can't, but if I could and I did, that does not make me righteous. Because what I'm doing is with some people, I'm hurting them. I'm not helping them. They'll never amount to a hill of beans if they don't hit the bottom, go without, get hungry, and say, you know what, I need to get my hind end busy working and get a good job and make this thing happen. All right, we'll stop there. Let's pray.